am amped up. We've got a disastrous day. We've got a wonderful day. We've got Rush Limbaugh on the run, literally. He's in the wind, literally. We've got Eric Bolling. You're going to find out what happened to him in a second. He might be bowling for Columbine, but he ain't bowling for Fox News.
Hey, come on.
We call that a spoiler.
Okay,
coming in hot, everybody. Jake's coming in hot.
That's right.
Now you can just take a bathroom break during that story if you want.
Okay, and then we do have Fire and Brimstone, unfortunately, and this time it's literal. Also against Chris Christie from the Trump guys. That's an amazing story. But the two stories from the second hour that I am blown away by, definitely no pun intended in this case, is white Christians are gone. They're also in the wind, gone. Okay, so they are now a minority in the country. I'm going to celebrate that, but hold, not because I got anything against white Christians, of course. But I'm going to explain why that's a fascinating phenomenon, why I'm celebrating. The numbers are stark, they're amazing. And we are winning. I'll tell you who we are later. I know what the right wing thinks. Like, oh, you think the brown people are winning? Anyway, all right, so that's not what I'm
talking
about.
Yeah, they're going to take that quote out of context and use it from now on.
Yeah, right? Yeah, sure. God bless. How about it, Hoss? Just direct them to tyTnetwork.com. Anyway, and then also, now artificial intelligence can tell whether you're gay or not just by looking at you. That story is amazing. Wow. Amazing. So
I was looking for a last minute check, so that might come in handy. I need one more opinion.
I just don't trust humans.
Yeah.
How do they really know?
At the age of 47, I look at it and it says you're gay. Oh, well, okay. All right, fine. I guess that's the way we're going. All right, John, major news, go.
Dramatic news. We just got word just before starting the show that the, I believe, 14th highest profile guy at Fox News, Eric Bolling, is gone.
All right, you ready for this?
Gentlemen, we got him.
Down goes Bolling! Down goes Bolling! Bolling over and out.
So if you had Eric Bolling in your pool at work for Fox News host that will go down next for sexually harassing his female coworkers, no, it's not Shep Smith. He's still a good guy, apparently. It is Eric Bolling. 14 sources revealed to the Huffington Post about a month ago, I believe, that at least three current and former Fox colleagues of his said that he had sent them inappropriate text messages, including photos of male genitalia. Although, importantly, no clarification yet of whether it was his genitalia. It might have been from his collection. I have no idea.
And we don't know that yet, and we don't know if he was using a body double.
He's probably going to sue me now, by the way, because he did sue them for publishing that story, or said that he was going to.
Yeah, well, he has time to sue now, so I would be concerned.
But they only had 14 sources, so and
yeah, that's the best part of that. There are 14 sources.
Which sounds like fake news to me.
Yeah. So if he's gone, and I don't know if he used a body double like Saddam did. We don't know whose particular penis it was, but we do know that he did send the penis pictures. At least Fox News knows it enough to have let him go. And they said, we enjoyed his 10 years of work. We did not enjoy his penis pictures. He will no longer be appearing on Fox News. The show that he was hosting, such as it was, the specialists are now out. And
I've never heard of that show before.
And you will not either going forward. It was one of the shortest shows in cable news history, thanks God. Which, by the way, is something they apparently said about the pictures as well. Anyways, okay.
You couldn't resist.
I couldn't.
Couldn't resist.
And finally, I want you guys have some context. If you think like, oh, Fox News, some of the right wingers might think, oh, they're becoming liberal and now they're just getting rid of all their conservative hosts because of political correctness. No. That's not remotely true. They're doing very lengthy investigations to find out who actually did it and didn't do it. So, for example, there's been like loose talk of, just because it's online, about Sean Hannity. Nobody's ever charged Sean Hannity with a damn thing, and it's nonsense. It's just like people throwing stuff at him because he works at Fox News. Sean Hannity has a million other problems, but this isn't one of them. So it's not like they're targeting random hosts. Mm-hmm. No, they're targeting people who actually did do it. And by the way, not every investigation shows the sexual harassment happened. For example, there was a lot of payouts to a lot of women who apparently were very badly sexually harassed, and some who actually had sexual relations with people like Roger Ailes, etc. But they did not give any money, and they did not settle with Andrea Tantaros. And they said, no, that one isn't true. It didn't happen. We'll go to court. We'll fight it all day long for as long as it takes. Because that isn't true.
Well, and who knows what will end up happening.
Yeah, and we don't know. They'll go to court. We'll find out. But there's a lot of sources that we know of, that others know of, and certainly Fox News apparently thinks, and their parent corporation thinks, that didn't happen. She's just looking to cash in. That's their point of view. Yeah. Now, on the same day, Charles Payne, who was also investigated for sexual harassment on Fox Business Network, another very conservative host on Fox News, has been cleared. News Corp saying he did not do it, and he's now back on air. So this is not a witch hunt. It's not random. It's not towards conservatives. It's not a political agenda. It's not political correctness. It's actual investigations. Did you actually sexually harass people?
Well, and I mean, I guess it's interesting whether it's a witch hunt or not, but they did it. The ones who did it did it. So regardless of whether it's a witch hunt or not, it's a culture of perversion basically inside of Fox News.
There's a good
it's
old
a culture
boys
of privilege
network
and yeah, it's these guys. I mean, look, if you just listen to what they say about themselves and their values, you'd think, "Oh my, how they're married. How are they sending dick pics?" But if you think about it for 3 seconds, of course there's going to be pervasive sexual harassment. It's a bunch of guys who hire the exact sort of women that they're interested in having sex with. We know Roger Ailes, that's his entire strategy that he's talked about before. And then they sit there and they think that they have the power over these women's careers, because in a lot of cases they do, because of how competitive the industry is. And so they abuse it. And that's why so many of them are falling down. And some of them, like you say, Sean Hannity, apparently there's no evidence. But would you really be that surprised in the end?
No,
there's no evidence.
No, I would be surprised, because guys, look, I only partly agree with you, John. I think that if it's like the conservatives who like look at the good old days, etc., you could say there's some evidence there, because in the good old days they used to sexually harass women.
I'm talking about like the strategy of like we're gonna require that women wear dresses. They not only do they have to wear dresses, they have to have their legs visible on camera. They have to wear simple unicolor dresses, because the vision of the average Fox audience would get distracted by that or something. Like the person who sets that up as the concept for a channel is a person who cannot be trusted around those female employees. And he is going to hire people of a similar mindset.
I'm not sure I agree. I'll just break it down real quick into 3 categories. They want to remind people of 1955 because their audience grew up in 1955. So the unicolors and how they dress, et cetera, whatever, I view that as no evidence. The fact that they look at 1955 with some nostalgia, not because of their childhood, that's perfectly normal, but because of like, the good old days when we were in charge and could do whatever we want. I view that as some evidence, but small evidence. A lot of people might think that way, but not act upon it. Roger Ailes' entire career was bathed in sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. Dozens of women came forward for over decades and decades.
Yeah, pre-Fox News.
Way before Fox News. So when you say that guy leading Fox News set up a culture of sexual harassment, that's overwhelming evidence. And there, I wouldn't be surprised if whoever already had that proclivity, Bill O'Reilly, Eric Bolling, wind up partaking in it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean everybody there is in favor of it. It certainly doesn't mean all conservatives are in favor of it. They might have a little bit of, some might have a little nostalgia towards it, but doing something is completely different. And yes, you're right. The most important part is Ailes set that culture up and basically said, now nobody's going to punish me because I'm the one who's running things. Hence, no one's going to punish you for doing the same exact thing.
Exactly.
And it is no surprise that it turns out a lot of them did that same exact thing, including Eric Bolling with the penis pictures, and now he's out.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've told the kids, the penis pictures, the men, we send these penis pictures, I guess, thinking that that turns women on. It's ridiculous. Women are not turned on by that to begin with, but Bolling is all hot and heavy, and so he starts thinking this will be the kind of thing that will drive her nuts. And it drove him to the exits. I mean, that's just what happens. I mean, that is about the lewdest thing. There's no rationalizing that, right? Once you sent those.
Look, I'm hoping that one side effect of Eric Bolling leaving Fox News is that we never again have to say or hear the phrase "Eric Bolling was hot and heavy." We're done with it. We're moving past it.
It's amazing that they think it works. I wonder if it's ever worked. I mean, I can see it working in a context, and you don't take this the wrong way. You might. I don't know. I probably shouldn't say it here. I'm about to say it.
I already don't want to hear
that
it.
That in the context of Grindr, perhaps it works. Right?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You see what
maybe.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because like, if you sent pictures of boobs to guys, it would work.
Right.
If you
no, sent men are different.
Right. Men We're are visual. Wired different. Yeah. Right. But for women, has it ever been like, oh, this guy at work sent me his penis, and it looks really pretty?
Yeah.
Like, oh, even though I had not thought of it before, I'm gonna go for this.
No.
Just on the attractiveness of this penis alone. Like, I don't know that that has ever worked
he
in
must
human history.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Don't send pictures of your erections to anybody.
Yeah. And that goes out to all of the remaining male hosts at Fox News.
Right.
Just as a general rule.
Pro tip.
I know you think it's funny, Gutfeld.
So
don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, let's move on to. Unless, do we want to talk any more about his erection?
No.
Okay,
I don't.
Good. Maybe a little. No. Okay, let's move on to something very serious. In a very real sense, when it comes to natural disasters around the globe, we are entering something that looks much like the end of days. We've got fires, we've got earthquakes, we've got hurricanes, and we're going to be covering a lot of it on the show today. But we want to give you a couple of quick updates on a few particular disasters that are going on in various parts of the U.S. and near the U.S. So first of all, you've got multiple hurricanes, but right now we're going to focus on Irma. The last that I had seen, I believe that somewhere between 24 and 30 people had already lost their lives. This is as it's crossing the Caribbean. And so you had Barbuda and the Virgin Islands, you had Puerto Rico get hit, a number of different places, Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And over the next few days, it's going to transition up into Florida. And if you've seen the photos of this hurricane comparing its size with Andrew, it's amazing. I mean, that was a hurricane that people still talk about decades later because of how terrible it was. And it's far, far larger. It's going to cross Florida, and it's going to literally cover the entirety of the state as it goes. And you see there a rough timeline of basically when it's going to hit different areas. It now has sustained 185 mile per hour plus winds for longer than any hurricane on record. Another scary record that it has set. The Rick Scott said that it's way bigger than Andrew, and there are multiple counties that have mandatory, let's stay on this for a second, that have mandatory evacuations in place because there's really no safe space right there. But here, this is something that 538 ran earlier today. It's when we talked about this a lot with Harvey, the chemical plants that were struck by the hurricane. You're seeing all of those hazardous waste storage locations, hospitals that could be hit, and also nuclear plants. I mean, that is a number of nuclear plants that theoretically could be hit. Turkey Point is one that we talked about earlier this year because of the likelihood that a rising sea levels will eventually engulf it in just a few decades. And so that is a very scary situation. I mean, a lot of people are evacuating Florida. A lot of people won't be able to, and it's already hit islands. It's devastated islands. We talked about yesterday, Barbuda, more than 90 to 95% of the buildings on the island have already been destroyed. Many people without electricity. Puerto Rico had a similar situation, and it's expected that we'll see something like that in Florida as well. So we're going to turn to other disasters in a second, but we do have to acknowledge just how devastating Irma has become in the immediate aftermath of Harvey.
So it's the largest hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Basin. Top winds came in at 185 miles per hour. It's a category 5, which is the biggest you can have. And category 5 is at 157 miles per hour. This is at a 185. And if the center was New York, it would cover an area from Boston to Baltimore. That is how gigantic it is. Yeah. And so just giving you context, that Barbuda story from yesterday, amazing. I mean, the island is almost completely wiped out. 95% of the buildings damaged. They were cut off from the rest of the world when all their communication was knocked out. You know, the scientists told us that some islands would sink into the ocean. We're in the middle of it right now. This is exactly what climate change looks like. We'll get to some scientist quotes as well a little bit later. And one more thing about the dangers of those chemical plants, etc. Like we saw in Texas. The authorities, partly because in Texas, almost all the Republicans in charge have taken money from the chemical industry, try to minimize what was happening. And they said they first reported as explosions because they were. They later changed it in an act of political correctness to pops that led to fires. That's called an explosion. Mm-hmm. And now cops and first responders that went are suing because they're really sick. And the authorities told them it's no big deal, just close your windows. If when a chemical plant explodes, you can't just fix it by closing your windows. You can't send people in there thinking that they won't get hurt. Of course they will. And we
just
warned you about that.
Just close your windows and breathe the oxygen that you've stored in tanks inside of your house.
So we
That's
warned
how
you,
air works.
We warned you about that earlier, and now the cops are and first responders are taking them to court because they're hurt. And by the way, if you're a person who believes that blue lives matter, you should be really upset at what big government told you in the form of Republicans who told you not to worry about climate change, not to worry about chemical plants that were not regulated well enough. They told you you didn't need regulations. Boy, do we need regulations right now in the state of Florida. I hope that they have good precautions on those hazardous waste dumps and on the nuclear plants.
Yeah, when you, again, regulations mean protections, mean ways to protect that community. And of course, as Cenk has just said, that community opened its arms to big oil and to chemical in the Houston area. And as a result, there were none of those protections. Now this community is different. And as we see this torrent of rain, this huge storm surge, just a wall of water. That's why that storm surge is talked about as such a destructive force, because it really is the leading edge of the most destructive force. All of that is energy. And these hurricanes, this is the way that nature moves the most heat energy from one hemisphere to another. So you're witnessing nature moving energy. So all of that energy is played out in the velocity of the winds, the storm surge. And of course, then when this thing hits the mainland, it no longer is feeding off the heat energy of the ocean or the Gulf. Of the water, in effect, and now the release of that energy is devastating. Yeah. We saw it in Texas and Louisiana, and now we'll see it across the Southeast. But again, it's all part of this climate change discussion, because that climate change is associated with the heat of the globe and then the accompanying energy transfer, which is played out in these hurricanes.
Yeah. So I just want to ask Mark just a little bit more, because Mark's a meteorologist and does this professionally. Look, the climate scientists at Texas A&M, at Rice University, at almost all these major institutions are saying that yes, climate change doesn't necessarily create hurricanes, but it makes them stronger, it makes them have more precipitation. Can you explain why? Like, so for the average guy out there, he might think, I don't get it, why does it make it more severe?
Well, it's a piece of what I was just saying, which is that the heat, okay, so the earth is getting warmer. That heat is played out in sea surface temperatures, in the ocean. The ocean is storing, if you will, that heat energy. And then it has to be transferred in some way, and is transferred into the atmosphere. So it evaporates into the atmosphere. It moves into that layer of air. Well, that layer of air now has a couple of things. It has energy, and it has that evaporated water vapor in it, and there's more and more of it. So you have more and more rain, and you have more and more intense energy being stored there. And that energy, again, is played out in storm surge and in wind velocity initially. So I think what you're seeing here as the globe heats up is just the capacity for the globe to try to throw off this energy in every way that it has in the past, which is associated with, again, rain and wind and a lot of destructive power.
Yeah. And in the same way that in the water it's causing the evaporation, which is filling the air with more and more moisture, which is leading to worse rains and hurricanes, in the land in big parts of the world, but we're going to focus here today in the US, it's drying out the land. And so we've seen massive fires all over the country. I mean, California just in the valley, in Burbank had some bad ones, and in multiple states in the West you're seeing them. In Montana especially, there are some absolutely massive fires going on right now. Governor Steve Bullock declared last week that it's one of the worst fire seasons in the state's history. The National Interagency Fire Center reported that Montana had 21 active forest fires covering about 438,000 acres. And they have already burned through their fund designed to fight these forest fires. I was looking into it, and unfortunately they had some other massive cuts that they had to deal with earlier this year, and so they took, I believe, about 30% of the fund away to forestall cuts in other parts of the government. And now you see there that we still got a good bit of year left and a good bit of fire season left, and Montana is still on fire.
So the fires in Montana have been going on for months now. They say that they will continue all the way through Halloween. It's amazing. I just want you to understand what Mark and John are explaining. That the heat causes the precipitation to go up. And when it does, it takes it from the ground, which makes the ground really dry. But when it takes it from the ocean, it then causes a lot more rain. And in the middle of a hurricane, it is prolonged rain. That is why in Houston, they broke the record for most amount of rain ever in anywhere in United States history. It is not a coincidence. And it's also not a coincidence that you're having these massive hurricanes at the same time as the fires. Because what happens when you have really dry land? You have raging fires. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's very hard for a Fox News host to understand or a Republican senator. But because the precipitation is lifted into the air from the ground and from the water, you have droughts and floods at the same time. That's why it looks like end times as we look at it. But it doesn't have anything to do with God, and it doesn't have anything to do with coincidence. It has everything to do with science.
And scientists forecast and predicted this very scenario, that these things would become more intense. You know, you can get bogged down and they throw a lot of stuff at you. Well, you know, the ice caps are melting. That would happen anyway. There's cyclical stuff. But what has been forecast by virtually all the scientists is precisely what's happening. It's almost beat for beat. They've handicapped exactly what has happened from an atmospheric standpoint. So as Cenk says, these intense events, droughts and hurricanes, they're getting more intense and on both sides. And as John says, that fire season has now extended itself. So they're dealing with not only more fires and not only drier conditions, but a season that's even longer than usual.
Yeah.
This is really, it's undeniable. And I always, is it willful? It is, I think you said the Republicans, and I wonder, is it willful ignorance? Is it are they just towing a party line? It seems so indisputable to me.
Yeah.
Well, look, I have an excellent sense of what it is, and it's that the oil companies give money to the politicians, as do the chemical companies. It depends on where you live as to what gives you the most amount of contribution. Is it a coincidence that we can't negotiate for drug prices with drug companies? I mean, that is the most mental thing that anybody's ever heard. Why would the government say, no, I will give you a monopoly and never negotiate for better drug prices? That's unheard of. The reason you do that is because the drug companies give all the money to the politicians. They're the number one lobby. And the oil companies are among the top five lobbies in campaign donations. So when they give money to largely Republicans, but some Democrats as well, those guys then conveniently decide, because it's in their best financial interest, that climate change isn't real. Now, that doesn't mean right wingers in the real world don't actually believe it. They do, because Rush Limbaugh gets paid by the Heritage Foundation and the Koch brothers to spew the same propaganda. So that's why he does what he does, and the senators, they all get bribed. And they are paid to trick people into genuinely believing, and I think the right wingers general population genuinely believe, yes, it's a hoax, the Chinese did it, the liberals did it, it's not true. Of course, it's not true until it's about to hit your house, like Rush Limbaugh, and then you run for your life, which is what he's doing. We'll get to that later in the show.
Yeah, and we've got a version of that sort of evasion of the discussion about climate change coming from the EPA after the break that we should probably take.
Okay,
right now.
We got to take the break, and let us note for the record, yes, John and I did again accidentally wear the same shirt.
I didn't even realize that.
Okay, I'm going to go change.
I put it on earlier today, though, so you got to change.
I think it's cute. I would keep them both.
We've done this several times before. Okay. ShopTYT.com, by the way. I'll get a different version of the Rosa Parks shirt I was wearing yesterday. Who wore it better? Who wore it better? Okay. Oh, we should do a poll.
Yeah, the internet just lit up.
Wait, but we each have to briefly at least pose.
Okay, so the poll is going to be
TYTnetwork.com/
Shirt.
Shirt. Okay.
TYT/ torso. I don't know.
Okay. No, we'll go shirt. I hope that's not exact. Okay. So, and it'll be who wore better, Johnny Pie or me. Okay.
Vote early and often.
Okay.
I think that if I pose more, I'm going to lose. So I'm pulling the ripcord on this one.
Or I could do this. All right, TYTnetwork.com/shirt, and go shop TYT.com to actually buy it.
Don't make me choose.
Mark, you're the first vote.
Oh no, I'll have to think about it over the break.
Okay.
All right, we'll come back with the first vote registered after the break. All right, Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks. We're having a little issue with my iPad in terms of reading the in the tweets, so I can't see your names. I'll just read one here. It says, "Oh no, there's so many good ones." Somebody I used to say Al Gore's, or people used to say Al Gore's predictions were off. Well, this could be the most catastrophic "I told you so" in human history. And then somebody else wrote in September 8th, 2017, the real Bowling Green massacre.
That's so grim.
Okay, sorry, I can't give you credit because I can't.
It's really
the
Bowling Peen massacre, I think.
Okay,
clever though.
Okay, Tony R. Cassio 1 writes in from YouTube Super Chat, which for some reason I can read. Longtime viewer, hoping to continue watching in the future. I live here in South Florida, Homestead to be exact, ground zero for Hurricane Andrew and maybe for Irma.
Homestead's like perched out into the hurricane, basically.
Wish us luck and keep an eye on us. I absolutely will. And remember, guys, I'm going to South Beach, Miami in about a week. So I was planning on it, and it could have been, you know, 1 week late. I don't know. I don't know what they'll be to go to, and it is super depressing. I love Miami, and so this is
your old spot, Miami. You used to live there.
Yeah, absolutely. So
by the way, I mean, they're expecting this to be, again, so many different forecasts. You know, you have the weather forecast, and you have the forecast from official agencies that are associated with calculating damage and that kind of thing. And they're talking about it being worse than Andrew. You know, by a long shot.
We'll get to how it lands within the context of the Rush Limbaugh story too. Last one, Brian Zaman wrote in on YouTube Super Chat too. Cenk just whooped, this is from yesterday apparently, whooped New York Times ass, and I love it. You go, Cenk. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. All right, John, what's next?
Okay, here's what's next. About a week ago, I knew that this country was filled with a lot of ignorant people who were truthers about various things, but I'd never heard of a hurricane truther before. It seemed like you can look out your window and see it. It's there. But Rush Limbaugh made news by saying this.
The reason that I am leery of forecasts this far out, folks, is because I see how the system works. Much of our public information system, including from the government, from the drive-by media, has been corrupted. It has been corrupted by the individual biases and whatever present bigotry of the people who hold these positions. And we can't forget Hurricane Harvey, because Hurricane Harvey and the TV pictures that accompanied that go a long way to helping further and create the panic.
The panic was probably related to the fact that it was devastating Texas and Louisiana.
He talks about those pictures related, as though they're not pictures of what's going on right now.
Exactly, yeah.
I think we might have misspelled that. It's West Palm Beach, right?
Autocorrect.
Okay. Damn. Okay.
So he made his little prediction that Irma's not going to be a big deal, and it's just, you know, it's the Chinese just trying to make a hoax about climate change or something like that. Unfortunately, it was a bad prediction because the hurricane was already barreling towards his studio at that point. So a bit of an oops, and it ended up just earlier today with him saying this.
Okay, I may as well go and announce this. I'm not going to get into details because of the security nature of things, but it turns out that we will not be able to do the program here tomorrow. We'll be on the air next week, folks, from parts unknown. So we'll be back on Monday. It's just that tomorrow is going to be problematic. Tomorrow it would be, I think, legally impossible for us to originate the program out of here. So, you know, I had to cancel a bunch of stuff. I was going to go to a private movie screening this afternoon, and I had a bunch of stuff to do tonight. Now that's all blown to smithereens.
Yeah, wow, that's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Like Florida will be.
It's Rush is going to miss a private movie screening.
That's terrible. It's problematic legally and rhetorically and ideologically because you're a jackass. So it looks like he's going to do the smart thing, and he is actually going to flee from Florida, which I believe we actually have some video of.
Yeah, we do. At TYT, you know, we've got reporters now, and so we found a video of Rush leaving Palm Beach. Okay, fine. That was Alex Jones.
That wasn't him.
Okay.
From behind, it's hard to tell. I get it.
Okay, all right. Well, that is kind of hard to tell a little bit. This is the real video. This is the real video. Let's watch him leaving the state. It's going to take a little while. Well, he does have a red hat on. Wow. That makes sense. You know what? Run, Forrest, run! This is gonna take a while.
I'm gonna miss my screening.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, that's where it gets sad, unfortunately, because that was a disaster.
I feel bad that I've impugned Forrest Gump's reputation by associating him with Rush Limbaugh. Okay, so I just want to break apart that small little clip we played for you, because it's chock full of so many great things. I'm not going to get into the details because of the security nature of things. Now, you're not going to get into the details because you were wrong and you're embarrassed. Second of all, the security nature of things is the hurricane is actually coming and you might die if you stay. That is the security nature of things. That's why your fat ass is leaving.
And again, the forecast was perfectly accurate. That forecast that you're making fun of, that forecast you say is a concoction of some left-wing plan to get more money for climate change and to kind of push a climate agenda, that forecast is exactly right.
Yeah, and you say, well, we have a situation here that's problematic. Yeah, that's what we told you. Yeah. That's what we said. It's going to be not a little problematic, it's going to be deeply problematic. Now let's talk about the damage that he's done. Because he's like a bad Bond movie villain, right? Everybody stay, there won't be any problems. And then he gets on his private jet and takes off. But meanwhile, if you made the mistake of ever trusting or believing Rush Limbaugh and you didn't make preparations, because later he said that he is, quote, almost always right 99.8% of the time. Mm-hmm. Now, that is preposterous and insane. But remember, Rush Limbaugh listeners are generally stupid. So they, when they hear that, they think, oh, okay, Rush is always right. And if Rush says, and they have been programmed to believe in Republican and Rush Limbaugh propaganda.
Yeah.
So if they made the mistake of believing in him, and they not only did they stay, but their family stayed.
Yeah.
And they kept their family there. They don't have a private jet. They can't take off at the last moment from their Palm Beach mansion. Yeah. As this guy is doing, going, well, I mean, your family might be stuck in this hurricane, but remember, my private movie screening has also been canceled. And this guy has the audacity to talk about the elite and how the liberals are elite? Are you insane?
The sad thing is that it was a screening of an Inconvenient sequel. You might have learned something.
Come on.
Also, by the way, in making it even a little bit worse, is that all these people that, as you say, trust him. He says it's a hoax, it's not going to happen, don't leave. Don't make any preparations to leave, even though the longer you wait, the harder it is. And gas is running out and all of that. So, potentially endangers them there. Then he realizes the hurricane is coming and he makes plans to evacuate himself and probably his coworkers because they're going to continue to do the show. But on that show where we just showed you the clip, he still didn't advise his listeners to leave.
Yeah, it's almost criminally irresponsible. I mean, everything that that you guys are saying really points to this guy being. And by the way, this guy is an effective communicator. I understand he's communicating to true believers and they drink in what he says. But for just that reason, he owes that public that listens to him some kind of reasonable warning. Once he's embraced it, he's got to get that word out.
That's exactly right.
He cares about his pride more than the lives of the people who listen to him.
So let's break that part down. So either he was lying all along and was endangering your life and is continuing to do that because he doesn't care. He wants to get paid by the right-wing think tanks that fund his program. You think they're selling normal products there? Coke, Nike, what? No. A lot of the ads are from right-wing think tanks who are funded by the fossil fuel industry. Yeah. So he's paid to lie to you. And if he endangered your life while doing so, who cares? I have blood my money. Private jet. So, I mean, think about what a horrible human being he is. Or you say, no, I don't, Cenk, I never believe you guys. I don't believe you now. Rush is right 99.8% of the time. Okay, then apparently he doesn't have the courage of his own convictions. So he thinks the hurricane is not coming. He thinks it's a Chinese hoax. And he said it again today. The official meteorologist, he calls them official meteorologists, he says have already accomplished their goal of scaring everyone. Well, apparently they scared you, right? So, but why don't, if they're lying and you are a strong conservative, Rush, have the courage of your convictions and stay on your front porch. If you don't, you're a coward. And you didn't. You ran like a little bitch. So if you didn't believe that climate change is real, and you didn't believe this hurricane was real, but you ran anyway, you are a pathetic, sniveling coward. Because the it's not me, it's the right wing who says that climate change isn't real. It's the right wing who says it's all a hoax. It's him who said it. So if you believe Rush, you must conclude that he is a grade A coward who does not have the courage of his convictions. Or he was lying to you. You pick one.
And if you're still in Florida, please leave.
Yes.
Grade A coward with a plane, though. I will say that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
One last thing about Rush Limbaugh. Is today, as he was running for his life from the hurricane, he said didn't exist. Come to find out it did exist, and it's going to would have knocked his house, potentially his house down, and endangered his life, and he got ran out of there. He was talking about it on the show, and he said that he was reading the paths of the hurricane, and he was certain that it would curve into the Atlantic, but that the official meteorologists got there what they wanted anyway, which was to create fear and panic over a climate change that isn't real. Now think about how monumentally stupid that is. The hurricane is a Category 5 and it's real, whether it's in the middle of the ocean or it hits land. It's real either way. Yeah. But he is so stupid that he thinks, well, if it curves a little bit and misses my mansion on Palm Beach, it must not exist. So are those pictures and the videos of it devastating the Caribbean made up? Did it not actually damage 95% of the buildings in Barbuda? Did hundreds of thousands of people not get evacuated? Why is the governor, Rick Scott, a deeply conservative guy who has banned the words climate change and global warming from Florida, ordered a state of emergency and told hundreds of thousands of people to evacuate in Florida, including you? So it's just, to me, I know that he's a liar and I know he does propaganda, but that whole misunderstanding that if it doesn't hit me, then it must not be real is just conservative 101. I am the only person in the world, I'm the only thing that matters, screw everyone else. I don't believe in community, I don't believe in us working together, hence I don't believe in the government. I don't believe in anything that doesn't involve me. So if there's a giant Category 5 hurricane right there, but it didn't hit me, well, I told you, climate change is not real.
Yes. Classic conservatives. Empathy doesn't extend past the walls of his own mansion.
And I think the strategic play from Rush and also a lot of conservative standpoint is to suggest that the pictures and the descriptions are amplified in some way to, again, to forward an agenda. There just isn't an agenda among these weather forecasters that are putting these various computer models into some sense and giving us these 12-hour updates. It just doesn't track. So the idea somehow that these guys who are scientists who've dedicated themselves to this kind of forecasting would somehow give up that science or even compromise on it to forward a political agenda, it's absurd. And it's absurd too because you could never get all those scientists to walk in lockstep anyway on a lie. Yeah. So it just doesn't track. Exactly. I don't get it.
Yeah, and I know why they do it, because since Rush Limbaugh is paid to lie to his audience by the right-wing think tanks who fund him, he thinks, well, everybody gets paid to lie, don't they? So if you're a meteorologist, you must be getting paid to lie by someone like I am. So there's a conspiracy over here, and that's how I'm funded, so I assume you're funded by a conspiracy.
Yeah.
So, and let us just dispel it for a second. Mark, you're a meteorologist, and you worked in this field for decades. Did anyone ever come to you and say, Mark, by the way, climate change is not real, but we're going to go ahead and lie to everybody. Go ahead and tell them forecasts that aren't true.
No, of course not. Of course not. And in fact, you know, you cut your teeth on the accuracy of what you say. So these guys, even if they were playing the long con, you know what I mean, they still have to get these forecasts right. And that really is, that's all they've got. I mean, and these are the key moments. You know, these guys who are in the National Hurricane Center, they dedicate their lives to these kinds of forecasts. This is where the rubber meets the road for them. You know, you got this unprecedented active tropical season. They want to deliver the very best forecast, and they have. Everything up to this point has been so very accurate.
Exactly.
I mean, just think about
it. Okay, last point, then we got to move on.
Oh, yeah.
We're way over.
Just think about how crazy that is for you to say, all right, there's all the world scientists and all the meteorologists, and they've all been proven right. Or I can listen to Rush Limbaugh, who's running for his life right now. Okay, well, you know, if you make that wrong decision, I'm not sure anybody can help you.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's turn to another disaster. At the same time that the Gulf Coast and the Caribbean are suffering under the effects of multiple hurricanes and vast parts of the U.S. are covered in forest fires, Mexico is also suffering from an earthquake that just hit—a massive and deadly earthquake. Unfortunately, as of when we're filming this, at least 58 people have been killed, and hundreds others have been injured. There's been large buildings that have been toppled. We're going to show you some video shortly. But this earthquake is pretty devastating. Its epicenter was just 600 miles southeast of the capital. And the president of Mexico is saying that it's the strongest earthquake that Mexico has experienced in a century. This disaster probably not traceable to climate change, but it's certainly happening at a particularly bad time as big parts of this hemisphere are currently dealing with disasters already. You're seeing there some of the immediate aftermath. And one of the things that led to some of the deaths that might have been avoided otherwise and is going to lead to more damage overall is that the states of Chiapas and Oaxaca, which are home to about 9 million people, are the ones most closely located to the devastating portion of the earthquake. They're extremely impoverished areas, which are going to, of course, it means that the building codes are probably less rigorous and that the support personnel and staff and all that is going to be a little bit less able to cope with the effects of a deadly earthquake.
And those, I'm so glad you made that point, because those communities are the ones that pay the greatest price in all of these different disasters, right?
We saw it with Irma.
So this, to the best of my knowledge, is a total coincidence. It's just really bad timing.
Yeah.
As we explained earlier on the show, the hurricanes and the tremendous fires happening in the western United States are not a coincidence. Climate change makes storms more severe. It causes the precipitation go into the air, which when it comes from the ground causes droughts and fires. When it comes from the ocean causes prolonged rain and flooding and storms. So we're kind of looking at what appears to be end times kind of scenario here, highways filled with cars fleeing, devastation in where the hurricanes have already hit. There's three hurricanes right now.
And more coming up behind them.
That's right, but the earthquake is not related to any of that. It's just bad timing that we happen to have an 8.1 quake, the biggest one we've ever had in Mexico City for at least the last 100 years. Mexico for the last 100 years.
Exactly. I want to show you just two more videos to show you the experience of some people recording as the earthquake was going on. Let's roll this first one.
Apparently, the quake was particularly shallow, which makes it more intense.
And we have one more video.
And that's a long time. You know, the duration of that shaking has so much to do with the kind of destruction that you see afterward.
Yeah. And now, unfortunately, because of the earthquake, they are also going to be hit by some tsunamis. Earthquakes cause tsunamis, and that's going to happen in some parts of Mexico. But it could reach 3-foot waves can reach as far as Ecuador, New Zealand, and Vanuatu, which is amazing. And 1.85 million homes have lost electricity in Mexico. And then one more consequence is that, of course, 38 people have died before. But look, actually, better regulations and building codes have saved a lot of lives. Because the last time a less severe earthquake hit in 1985, that was an 8 instead of an 8.1, it killed an estimated 9,500 people in Mexico City.
Yeah.
Now, there's different reasons why the regulations are not the only reason, but that is a contributing factor when the buildings don't collapse in the kind of shaking that you saw there. Lives are saved, and thank God they were in this case.
Yeah, and right now, obviously, the search and rescue going on right now. There's some, I believe, a hotel that's currently down that they think some people might still be inside, and so they're searching, and so that it's possible that the death toll, unfortunately, will continue to rise, but already extremely devastating.
And finally, Hurricane Katia is about to hit eastern Mexico. So as if things weren't bad enough, the hurricanes are also coming.
Yeah. Why don't we take our last break, and then we've got one more story, something a little bit lighter to close out the first hour with.
All right. By the way, it's an awesome video. It's directed at Donald Trump, and you will absolutely love it. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Mark, and John with you guys. My Twitter machine is fixed. Couple of quick ones for you. Tom Zawaki says, just like Alex Jones, if taken to court, Rush Limbaugh would say he's putting on an act to avoid prosecution. Very likely so. Bart Kyle, wait a minute, that's you, Bart, says, fun fact, Mexico has an earthquake early warning detection system to where you have 90 seconds to prepare for the quake. California does not have one. So great, Mexico is better prepared than we are, and they have more thorough, helpful regulations, or as Mark accurately put it, protections. And finally, Claire says, earthquakes, fires, hurricanes, floods. Good thing we haven't gotten the threat of nuclear war too. Oops.
I think we're just missing locusts, and then we can close out this whole existence.
Yeah, if it starts raining frogs, well, then don't worry, don't panic, because it's already over.
Yeah. By the way, if it started raining frogs, the alt-right would be ecstatic.
Oh yeah, they're like, Pepe's finally here.
Okay, something a little bit light for you. Donald Trump apparently already has a challenger in the 2020 election, and it's a longtime, extremely vocal critic of his, who also just happens to be the former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox. Here's a video announcing his candidacy.
Hello, it's me, Vicente Fox, with another message for last year's rotting Halloween pumpkin. Today, I'm proud to announce my candidacy for president of the United States. Donald fucking Trump. If that were not baseball glove tightly gripping a third can be president, then amigos, anyone can. Promise to build a beautiful wall, and believe me, Mexico will be happy to pay for this one. Unless Donald has moved to a new home, which already has a wall. Now I was going to promise to undo all of Donald's hateful legislation. But amigo, you haven't passed a fucking thing. I'm not even president yet, and we have both passed the same amount of substantial legislation. Always ask before grabbing a pussy. You like? I have some other ones. 65 million is more than 62 million. Putin is not my puppy. Trump has baby fingers. Not afraid of stairs.
This ad was paid for by the ghost of Donald Trump's dead dad, who was looking up from hell with shame in his eyes.
Wow, that was unbelievable.
Who did that?
Super Deluxe did it, and I gotta give him all the credit in the world, and we that put the link to the whole video down below in the description box.
There's way more.
Because it's about like 5.5 minutes, and everything was great. JR had to do his best effort to cut that down so that we could fit it in the show. But I want to also give all the credit in the world to Vicente Fox, who's a former president of a very large country, who was willing to do a complete balls to the wall video unlike I've ever seen from any world leader before.
Yeah.
From any world leader. I don't think any other world leader has ever done anything approaching that.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody does a gag reel for the, you know, the correspondence dinner if they're president. You know what I mean? That's about as far as we've
Obama
seen.
Obama was on Between Two Ferns, I guess.
Right. Thank you. That's right.
That was amazing. And I watched it on mobile at first, and so I missed all that stuff in the back, like the P tape and the fake Time magazine cover. That's my favorite part. So watch the whole video and take a look at that.
Yeah, brilliant job, and thank you, Vicente. And boy, how much would we be better off with him as president?
Absolutely right.
Yes.
Oh, I really hope that Donald Trump watches that. Anyway, one more story for you. While the immediate concern in regard to Hurricane Irma is, of course, the safety of those who are still in its path, those who have already been hit by it, here at TYT, we've made very clear that we are not going to ignore the connection between climate change and extreme weather events. And we're not going to wait until some date that they say is acceptable to start talking about what we should do as a civilization to stop more of these hurricanes from developing in the way that Irma did. But unfortunately, there are some in the media who are ignoring that connection. And there are some in government who are actively trying to shut that conversation down before it even gets going. And so first, we're going to go to the EPA. So Scott Pruitt, is the head of the EPA. Unfortunately, it seems like his mortal enemy is the environment, and he wants to do all that he can to destroy it. Said this recently, to have any kind of focus on the cause and effect of the storm versus helping people or actually facing the effect of the storm is misplaced. To discuss the cause and effect of these storms, there's the place and time to do that. It's not now, it's some other time, like after some sort of mass shooting. Of course, why would you talk about guns then? It's inappropriate, you should wait 6 months or something like that. He also said this, Congress should address that at some point, talking about climate change, and Congress hasn't. All I'm saying is to use time and effort to address it at this point is very, very insensitive to this people in Florida. It's very insensitive, and he's a sensitive soul, okay? His background with fossil fuel companies, that has nothing to do with it. He's just worried about people's feelings, that's it.
Yeah, now imagine if they applied the same service standard to 9/11. It would be insensitive to talk about the people who did 9/11 and what caused 9/11. So let's not, hey, CNN and everybody else, don't talk about what might have caused 9/11. Let's just be sensitive to people and never mention it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, that would have been insane. That would have, so in this case, it's not a who, it's what caused the hurricanes and what caused them to be more severe.
There are a few whos I could point out.
Yes, including some of his donors. But if you don't talk about that now, when do you talk about it? It's not like Scott Pruitt ever came out at another time and said, hey, by the way, guys, I just want to let you know, there's no storms going on right now, or fires or droughts. By the way, good luck trying to find that time. Yeah. So I think this is the appropriate time to talk about climate change. And let's figure out, is it real, is it not real, is it man-made or not? And it's, no, there's never an appropriate time for him.
Yeah.
And he says it's the most inappropriate time because it's the time when people are paying attention.
Exactly.
And one of his theories is you can't talk about it then. Later, if you bring it up randomly, he'll be like, why are you bringing it up randomly?
Right.
So,
like, again, with gun control in the wake of mass shootings.
Exactly. So I have a plan. Okay, you and Scott, we're not going to talk about Hurricane Irma and what might have caused that. But luckily, we've had now about a week since Hurricane Harvey. So we can now talk about Hurricane Harvey and how climate change clearly made that storm worse, according to every scientist in the world. That is why it was the largest rain event in United States history. But you know, now we're perfectly sensitive to everyone that was involved. And okay, you get the point. But I'll say one more thing about it, which is that look, if you or your family was affected by this or devastated by it, and over 60 people died during Hurricane Harvey, God knows how many people are gonna die, already 38 dead because of Hurricane Irma. And if it didn't happen in the US, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And unfortunately, it is gonna happen in the US, it's coming to hit Florida right now. You should be angry. So if you got affected by 9/11, you had every right in the world to get angry. And if you get affected by these storms, they are not a coincidence. And there's nothing you could do about it, and God works in mysterious ways. Storms have always existed. They are now clearly more severe, according to almost every scientist in the world, and causing far more damage, including the people who died in these storms, because of climate change. Yeah. Man-made climate change, largely driven by the fossil fuel industry, which wrote a lot of checks to Scott Pruitt and to fellow attorney generals or attorneys general in the Republican Party to cover up. And yeah. Scott Pruitt from time to time would literally take memos written by fossil fuel industry lobbyists and then put them on the record as if it was his own letter. He's a gross, gross guy.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, look out for my sensitivity.
And last thing, I know we're late, but I just want to make the point that his statement, where he plays off talking about the causes versus helping those people who've been affected, is ridiculous to begin with. We're not saying you shouldn't be helping. It's not as though we can't continue to help those people affected while talking about the causes. This is not one or the other. It's not one versus the other.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a strategic bullshit play.
Yeah, and look, I'll go back to it's a conservative thing. They seem to have a very limited idea of how empathy is supposed to work. But as I pointed out on a walk and talk I posted on my Facebook last week, I can care about the victims of the hurricane that's happening right now, and I can also care about the victims of the next 10 hurricanes, the next 100 hurricanes, because they're coming. We don't know exactly where they're going to hit land. We don't know what we're going to call them, but they are coming and they are going to be severe, and I want to help those people as well. And by the way, if it was just rhetoric coming out of the EPA, that would be bad enough, but it's not just rhetoric. Scott Pruitt and Donald Trump have already done a lot to ensure that we'll have more hurricanes like these ones. On June 1st, of course, he said we'll withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. He also eliminated the Clean Power Plan, the Keystone Environmental Regulation of the Obama presidency. I could do a whole show just listing all the others, the selling off of public lands, the allowing more pollution to go into streams from coal companies and all that stuff, the loosening of the methane regulations. We could do a whole show on that. It's not just rhetoric, it's actual policy, and that's what's so terrible. But it's also not just the government, it's the media as well. So I want to talk about a Media Matters analysis of the broadcast coverage of Hurricane Harvey. From August 23rd to September 7th, they found that neither ABC nor NBC aired a single segment on their morning, evening, or Sunday news shows that mentioned the link between climate change and hurricanes. And we know how much the media was covering those hurricanes. They just chose not to make that connection clear. CBS and PBS NewsHour each aired 3 segments, which is something. Fox actually aired 6 segments that mentioned climate change. But most of those dismissed the link between climate change and hurricanes. So thank you, Fox, for doing that. CNN and MSNBC each aired 5 segments that legitimately discussed the link. So CNN and MSNBC certainly could do more considering their 24-hour day coverage of the hurricanes, but they at least did mention it on multiple occasions.
So ABC and NBC are 0. I'm doing quick math here. NBC and PBS is 6, but Fox News is 6 against.
Right.
So that's just 5 networks that is a net 0.
Yeah.
So golly gee, I don't know what happened. All the world scientists agree what happened. They all agree that the storms are worse because of climate change. But on TV, the so-called liberal media, you actually almost never hear that. Now, CNN and MSNBC are 24 hours a day. So wow, in this giant period of
A week.
No, 2 weeks at least, August 23rd to September 7th. They did a combined 10 segments. In a span of 24 hours after 24 hours, and this is giant news. But at least give them credit that they did it.
That's true. To be fair, I mean, we do 2 hours a day. I know we've done more than 10 segments in the past 2 weeks, and we do far less than 1/12 the coverage that they do.
This is a victory. The right wing, and I hate to, I hate to always, I don't want to be name calling, but just from the right, they effectively message. And the message that they've allowed to get out there, and it's stuck, is that talk about climate change is a politicization of science. And they've created this idea that talking about it is now a leftist thing to do. And newsrooms at those networks have accepted that. And it's just not true. There is science behind this. But I think that's their messaging sticking. And it's being internalized in editorial decisions at the networks.
So look, the one thing we can see here, fairly definitively shown, is that there is no liberal media bias. If anything, it's the opposite. If you think that some of the people who work there are liberals, okay, that's I understand that, and there are some studies that back that up in terms of, they're mainly talking about print journalists, but on TV, I wouldn't be surprised either. So we're not denying that reality, okay. But first of all, they don't make the decisions. The higher ups make the decisions.
Yeah.
And the higher ups are at a multi-billion dollar corporation. They are not liberals. Those corporations want lower taxes and they want deregulation. And by the way, part of deregulation is on this issue as well. Yeah. So if we were going to take proper precautions about climate change, we would have a lot more regulation. Some of their top advertisers are fossil fuel industry. So there's a lot of factors that lead them to not being remotely liberal.
That's not fair, Cenk. BP is just trying to sell gigantic barrels of oil to regular people watching the morning show on MSNBC. I've got one in my bedroom. It's big, but it could come in handy someday.
That, by the way, if you don't know that, there's companies that don't sell anything to the public. Now, at least BP could make an argument, well, you could stop at our gas stations, and whether they're in your neighborhood is a lot more relevant than if I did this ad. But at least I can make an argument. There's some giant companies that don't sell anything to consumers, but they do millions of dollars in advertising and TV. Why do you think they do that? They do that so you don't talk about the problems that they create. This is an excellent example of that.
Yeah.
And so finally, even if you think that they are actually all liberals at these media organizations, then they have at least been cowed by the right wing into not saying anything, because oh my god, they'll call us liberal, they'll call us liberal, even though all the scientists agree what's happening. Let us not report the facts, because of the names that the right wing might call us.
Yeah.
That's not journalism, that's something else altogether. If you are neutral to the facts, that means you are not a journalist. You have to be objective about the facts. Neutral is some people say there's climate change and other people say there's not climate change. I wish I was a journalist so I could figure out which one was which. Okay, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to shut up because otherwise Fox News might yell at me. An objective journalist goes, here is what the scientists are reporting definitively. Here's what the reality is. Here's why your family's suffering. Here's why we're having climate change. Here's why the hurricanes are much more severe. Do your job in the media. Do your job. And if you won't, well, I guess what's happening now is what's going to happen, which is that we'll replace you. That is why a lot of these networks have audiences that are ancient. They're not adding anyone new because I got news for you. Online, we can look things up. So when you omit the facts, when you don't do real journalism, people don't trust you anymore and they just leave. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Okay, we got to go. John, thank you. We appreciate it. John's going to be in True North. That's a series about the North Pole. Are you going back next week?
Yeah, this is the last time I'll be on. I'm going for another month.
Okay, so we will show you some of his videos as he sends them back in. Mm-hmm. We do usually do that in the post game. Members have had great fun with that. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member. Check that out. And when John's back, they'll have the whole show on Verizon Go 90. It's called True North. It's going to be amazing and is going to talk about climate change mm-hmm. and the scientists who are tracking it. So don't miss that. We'll be back with Anna. Two amazing stories. All of them are great. But one is now artificial intelligence can tell whether you're gay or not just by looking at you. We'll give you the details of that story. And white Christians are now officially a minority in the country. I'll tell you why I think that's great news, which does not have anything to do with their race. Okay, Young Turks.